Well, hey everybody, welcome to part one of episode 240 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, tonight we're going to break down Friday's Class 5A Championship football game at the Unidome. In part two of the podcast, I'll be talking with some of the coaches and players from Ankeny. Of course, the Hawks will play Southeast Polk in the title game for the third time in 4 years. In part one of the podcast, I'll be previewing the game with a variety of guests. My first guest is a former activities director at Ankeny, who is now an assistant director at the Iowa High School Athletic Association. He's getting ready to head up to Cedar Falls because he'll be at all the games in the Dome over the next 2 days. He is Andy Humphrey. Andy, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Great, Dan. Thanks for having me, man. Exciting couple days coming up here in UNI's Dome. So.
Oh, you bet. Well, I think you were on the sidelines for the last two title games between Ankeny and Southeast Polk as the Hawks AD. You know, so I guess Friday's game will have a little different feel for you, huh?
You know, it really will. It's been it's very intriguing. This is year two at the State Association now, and just having a different perspective of kind of behind the scenes and kind of seeing how things go and really not rooting for a team, but really just ensuring that you create a great events for all the kids involved, both teams through all classes, all 7 of our classes will play in the next 2 days. And it will be exciting. It will be interesting to see this matchup from this point of view now this year, you know, with the previous two matchups. I was at Ankeny as AD, so.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you still follow the Ankeny program pretty closely. And I don't think too many people saw the Hawks getting back to the finals this year. Are you surprised?
You know, I can't lie. I am surprised. I'm not surprised by the work the coaches and kids have done. You know, Coach Bauer is a tremendous guy, and he's ran a great program. And he was part of that program when they won the title in 2020. I believe he brought him on staff my first year at Ankeny. You know, and obviously he's got a great football background, you know, as an NFL scout for a long time. And, you know, just a great example of, you know, what difference, you know, some coaches and kids believe in really can make a difference. And, but yeah, I don't think a lot of people probably had them penciled in to have the year they had, especially knocking off Dowling in the quarterfinals and, you know, continuing to make the run they've made, so.
Well, yeah, we were just a player or two away in both those games on Friday. I mean, we could have had a 13 seed playing a 14 seed. These playoffs have been pretty unpredictable, haven't they?
They really have. There's been a lot of parity, which I think just a testament to how good high school football has been here in Iowa in all classes. And I think it's really hard to predict just who's going to end up where, because there is so many good teams in Iowa in all classes. And you just kind of look at some of the matchups. I mean, with Centennial and Ankeny play each other in the semis. And obviously, I don't think a lot of people maybe had that penciled in. You know, Centennial's run was kind of, and we anticipate a little bit, noticing some of the games they played this year, and they played all the teams really tough, all their losses to top-ranked teams. And so, you know, just, again, just that parity that we've had in all classes has made it really a fun tournament series here so far.
Well, you're obviously at that semifinal game against Centennial. Have you seen Ankeny play in person any other times this season?
Yeah, you know, I went and saw them play the first game of the year at Ankeny and Centennial. We won that double overtime game. That was quite a way to start the season off. And, you know, I got to see the Centennial Dowling game. Usually I try to get out to some games each Friday. Kind of varies. Those were the two I saw, you know, from Ankeny's as far as that goes. But, you know, really trying to get out each Friday. Jared Chizik, who's our sport admin for football, has done a great job. And, you know, I try to, you know, get involved as I'm able with the other things that I'm working on in our office. But, you know, somebody that coached football for a while and then was an AD, you know, it's just kind of fun to get out there and see some officials do great work and some great football teams out there. And it's hard to beat a Friday Night Lights. It really is, regardless of the class or where it's at. There's something special about high school football on a Friday night.
Well, being an administrator now with the IHSAA, you know, you have to remain in a neutral role. But what kind of a game do you expect on Friday?
Yeah, you know, it's again, that's new to me. You know, being in education for 16 years prior to hopping into this, always having some invested interest in the games that you watch, and now really just being a neutral party, I really do expect a great game. You know, obviously Southeast Polk, there's a reason why they're 2-time state champs. They've been in this position again for a fourth year in a row, and you know, that's not by accident. But I think it'll be a great game. I think defensively, you know, Ankeny's really going to have to, you know, make sure they can control that line of scrimmage a little bit. And they've done that a great job week in and week out. So I anticipate a great game. I don't expect, you know, anticipate a high scoring one. But at the same time, you know, it's really hard to predict, you know, where some of these teams fall. But excited for a great game come Friday night.
Well, I hope it's a better game than the first time they met, because when they played back on September 1st, you know, of course, the Rams won 58-21, and that game was pretty much over by halftime.
it really was, you know, and this is where it's really hard to beat the same team this season twice, you know, and Ankeny had to do it against Centennial, and obviously, you know, you think about, you know, the amount of energy they had to expend to make that happen last week in the semis, and Southeast Polk is not a team that is going to look past some. So I fully anticipate them giving the Ankeny Hawks squad all they can handle. And it should be interesting. Like I said, I hope for a great game. And, you know, that's all we really can hope for at this point. But just a testament, anybody making to the Dome in the semis or finals, it's not an easy trip to get here. It is a hard and it takes a lot of work. Just make playoffs, let alone get to themselves to the Dome and to the state championship game. So it should be an exciting one.
Well, before I let you go, Andy, I just wanted to ask you briefly about your job with the IHSAA. You know, how are you enjoying your new position?
You know, it is. It is really good. I kind of mentioned already, you know, being 16 years in education, it's been kind of hard to let go of that community and involvement that you have being in school. You know, I still live here in Ankeny, but, you know, now I'm just another resident of Ankeny instead of having to tie to the school, which is it's a new position for me. But I would say I really enjoyed it. Obviously, you know, you go into a job not really knowing what to expect. And obviously, you know, sometimes you're humbled in a new job and sometimes you think some things and you realize very quickly that you have a lot to learn. And I think that's with any new job that, you know, you got to take it in stride. But it's been a good transition. It really has. And it's, you know, just like being an AD, it's kind of fun to have your hands involved in all the programs that your school's offering. And now, like, I feel like at this level, I get an opportunity to have my hands involved in, like, long-term visioning of what programs look like, maybe adding programs or enhancing what we're already offering. And so really just helping create great opportunities for kids at the end of the day. And so it's been a really good transition. I know, I think my wife prefers the schedule I have now versus the one I had with AD. Yeah. you know, because obviously it's a challenging during state tournament time, but, you know, during regular season, you know, there was a few less nights than I was working through as an AD. But at the same time, you know, some people might think I'm sick in the head, but, like, I kind of miss some of that craziness too. There was some satisfaction in managing the chaos that is that world. And but again, I still feel like I have that nice tie to it with this job. So,
well, it says on your bio that you are the sport administrator for baseball, cross country, and tennis. So are those the sports that, you know, take up most of your time on a daily basis?
Yeah, they are. You know, during the end season, those are kind of the ones that make up most of my time. There's four assistant directors total in our office, with Tom Keating being our executive director. And those are kind of, we each are given a lead role in certain sports, but we all have all hands on deck for big tournaments like state football. And really, so we all kind of, you know, pitch in and kind of help wherever it was needed. I know Jared, Todd, and I are the three that manage all the eligibility as well, which that can be a daunting task, and it always is a pretty full one early on in the year. And then doing some other things like student advisory is another, you know, thing I've taken on since being there, and just kind of work on some of that stuff. And I helped Louie in the winter with some of the weight management stuff with wrestling. So really just, again, a little taste of everything, but obviously there's, you know, you gotta have a point person per sport. And so those one I've been in charge of. And it's really been good to see that, you know, we had state cross country a few weeks ago, and you know, felt that went really well there in Fort Dodge. And you know, we're shuffling some things in baseball, and it's been kind of exciting to kind of be part of that and see that through. So,
well, during these games at the Dome, what have your primary duties been?
You know, a lot of variations, really, you know, maybe helping get officials where they need to be, managing teams in and out, helping some setup, tear down. You know, obviously there's a much different setup for A-man versus everything else. So really just kind of anything and everything, you know, working with UNI personnel for everything, maybe doing some of our recognitions that we've done at halftime with our educator or veteran. We did some halftime activities with some of our student sections, doing some field goal kicks, and so kind of worked with my student advisory committee to help kind of make that happen. And really just, again, you know, kind of all hands on deck for these type of things. Anything and everything is on the table. You know, troubleshooting when issues come up, anything and everything. So.
Well, it should be a couple of busy days for you up there at the Union Dome. I'm certainly looking forward to that game on a Friday night. Hey, I'll see you up there at the Dome, Andy.
That sounds great, Dan. Thanks again for having me.
You bet. All right, my next guest is an Ankeny resident and assistant football coach at Dowling Catholic. We had him on the podcast 2 weeks ago to preview the Maroons' quarterfinal game against Ankeny, so he can talk about how the Hawks were able to win that game and have now reached the final. He's Andy Pollack. Andy, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
Well, hey, I think a lot of people thought maybe we'd have a Dowling versus Southeast Polk rematch in the final on Friday, but you know, it obviously didn't turn out that way. Ankeny was able to avenge its earlier loss to your team in the quarterfinals, allowing just 187 total yards after giving up more than 500 back in September. You know, the Hawks have really improved, haven't they?
Yeah, this has been a year, particularly in Central Iowa, that I think you could have picked out five, six, maybe seven different schools that you would not have been surprised at to see playing in the state championship game. And the fact that Jeff has had his crew ready to go, they performed every night. They deserve to be here right now. They've just played outstanding football, especially down the stretch.
Well, Ankeny then won another defensive battle against Centennial in the semifinals, holding the Jaguars to just 7 points. The Hawks have only scored 24 points themselves in the last two games combined, but you know, with the way their defense is playing, it really hasn't mattered, has it?
They're not doing anything flashy right now. It's almost Hawkeye-ish the way that they've been able to go about doing things, but decent special teams and just very solid defense and not making mistakes. That's been a big thing right now. Offensively, they have not made those mistakes that the other teams they played against have, and the other teams have made mistakes at inopportune times, huge times, and Ankeny has just sat there and they played mistake-free football, and here they are with a chance to win a state title.
Well, now Ankeny will try to avenge another one of its losses. The Hawks were routed by Southeast Polk 58-21 on September 1st. The Rams built a 42-7 lead in the first half to put the running clock into effect. Now, I think it's safe to say that the Hawks have closed the gap on Southeast Polk, you know, but that was obviously a big gap 2.5 months ago. So what does Ankeny have to do to keep the game close and give themselves a chance to win in the fourth quarter?
Well, they got to continue to play great defense. They have not given up a big play. That's been a big part of what they've done, is they've not given up a big play. And the type of defense they play up front, the front half of what they do defensively is risky. It is. They move around a lot. They do a lot of different stuff to try to make you uncomfortable, but it leaves some gaps open. But they've been able to minimize what teams have been able to do running the football. On the back end, mixing up their coverages, they've done a great job. And with that, then teams have not been able to complete the big play. And that's been a big part of their run right now. You look, no one scored more than two scores on them at all during their playoff run.
Well, Connor Moberly passed for 272 yards in that game. He threw three touchdown passes to Carson Robbins and two more to Sam Zelenovich. You know, what challenges do you think the Rams will pose that maybe the Ankeny defense hasn't had to face in these last two games?
Yeah, so a mobile quarterback, that's going to be a big part of what they do. I know when they played Johnston, not really a mobile quarterback. Very good arm, but not a mobile quarterback. Ours was a little banged up, so he was not mobile that night. Obviously, Trenton Smith has got a great arm, but he's not super mobile. Connor Moberly brings in that ability to extend plays with his legs. I wouldn't call him a runner, but he's just really good about moving around in the pocket and eventually finding a spot, creating different angles to release from, and he's done a really nice job with that. They've got a good running attack. Their offensive line is one of the best in the state, and that's why they're still playing at this level or at this stage in the year. So Southeast Polk, there's a reason they've been number one from the beginning of the year to start and still there right now. They bring a lot of challenges, but they've got kind of the same thing Ankeny's got right now, is the it factor. Mm-hmm. They win those close games. Like, they found a way to win close games. You know, they beat us in overtime. They beat Cedar Falls, holding them from going for two at the very end. The other night, they beat Valley in overtime. They beat Centennial earlier this year, just barely, I think it was by three. Centennial was driving late. I mean, there's just all, they've got that it factor. I mean, Ankeny's kind of got the same thing going for them right now. They've been able to win a lot of these close games, and that's what makes talking about this game anyway a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, we were talking about Moberly, and you know, last year he spent a lot of his time just handing off to Abu Sama.
Yeah, which we would all look really good doing that, right?
But I was really impressed with him in that earlier game against Ankeny. I mean, he can really throw the ball. He was so accurate, and I can see why he's going to Iowa State.
He is a guy that the game looks like it happens very slow to him. Like, he just operates at a different level. Like, he sees the blitzes where they're coming from. He anticipates the openings coming. When he throws the ball, he can pick apart his own defense. Like, you can't play zone. Like, he just picks it apart. He's just really a student of the game, watching what he's done. I think maybe just, you know, the arm strength, maybe not exactly what a Division I program, like a high-level recruit would be looking at, but you got to feel like, man, he could really improve that aspect of his game, because when you look at what he does mentally and what he's already able to process, he just processes things at a different speed that a lot of high school quarterbacks aren't able to do.
Well, then on the other side of the ball, you have to figure that Anki will try to establish the running game, control the clock a little bit. Daniel Army rushed for 77 yards and a touchdown in the win over Centennial. And both him and Caden Henke's have, you know, had some big games this year. In the first game against Polk, Anki actually took an early 7-0 lead before things went south in a hurry. The Hawks were unable to run the ball consistently. They finished with just 93 yards on the ground. You know, and that led to some short possessions, and it didn't take long for the game to get out of hand. Southeast Polk had some very short fields. I think the Rams went on to score on 6 straight possessions. Now, I know Ankeny even ran some hurry-up offense in that game, and that made some of those possessions even shorter. I know that's something that they like to run, but against a team like Pope, do you maybe not want to try to do that?
Yeah, the key to a hurry-up offense is kind of picking and choosing your spots. If you hurry up and go 3-and-out, it doesn't do anybody any good. So I think they've improved on that aspect. And Brady, as he's called games throughout the course of this year, he's improved a ton as a play caller. I don't know that this is his first time, but he hasn't called plays in several years. And I think he's done a really good job mixing it up, keeping teams off balance with what he's called offensively. They're not lighting the world up on offense, but they don't have to with the defense that they've got going. So the key for them is possessing the football, holding on to it, minimizing what Southeast Polk will be able to do offensively, and then, you know, eventually you score a couple touchdowns. You put 2 touchdowns in, and so far that's been good enough for them in all their playoff run.
Well, Andy, you coach the offensive line at Dowling. Your team's only losses this season came to these two teams. You know, so you obviously, you know what these teams can do. You guys lost to the Rams in triple overtime in Week 8.
Is that what? I don't even remember the triple overtime.
Wow. It was.
Yeah.
Well, from what you saw up close in those games, you know, how do you see the battle in the trenches in this game? You mentioned that Southeast Polk maybe has the best offensive line around, but do you feel like, you know, either line has the advantage in this game?
Well, it's two completely different styles of what they do, especially defensively. Ankeny comes at you with that 3-man front, and they're moving all over the place. Like, they don't – what you see is not what you get. You just can't anticipate anything that Ankeny's going to do, whereas Southeast Polk, some of the guys they've had playing have been up there for years, and they just kind of out-tough you. And one of the hardest things to go against, the game plan against, is a team that you know what they're going to do. They're just really, really good at it. And teams don't run the ball particularly well against Southeast Polk because they're just so fundamentally sound. And so that, I think that's going to be the key. If Ankeny has a way, and then they've done some great things scheming lately and try to get teams out of what they want to do coverage-wise. If Ankeny can figure out a way to kind of put a couple of those drives together and move the football, I think the Hawks have a chance.
Well, I don't know if you want to make a prediction or not. I'm going to save mine after later in the week. But you did tell me that B.C. Moore has Southeast Polk favored to win by 11.5 points.
B.C. Moore has not been right at all in the postseason. That's a site that's been kind of fun for high school, those who follow high school football, to follow around with. And that site has not been. It's purely math. It doesn't bring anything else into the equation. It's been a lot of fun to follow, but boy, it's been completely wrong in the postseason.
Well, how do you see this game playing out?
Well, I think early on, you're going to see both teams love to run power football. I think you're going to see both teams try to establish the run. If either one of them can, it's going to be a long night for the other team. I think that's a key in it right now. I think Southeast Polk does have the ability to drop back and throw the ball more consistently. However, you're sitting there with a cheat code in Ankeny. You're able to drop back and throw that football. You can create some big plays. That's going to be the key. Both defenses really need to prevent the other team from making the big play. That's going to be a big part of it. It's a long game. Like, the 48 minutes doesn't seem like it's that much, but I think what we've seen in this postseason right now is what happens early on doesn't have a huge impact on what happens later on. What I think is a huge storyline in this whole thing is, like I mentioned earlier, both these teams have the it factor. These are two teams that have figured out a way to win the close games. I don't know how many games Ankeny has won that have been right down to the final, right down to the final play, but you look at in the playoffs, Johnston, Dowling, Centennial, and then before that, now they didn't win that Valley game, but I think you go back to Centennial at the beginning of the year, there's just been so many close games that they've won. Well, Southeast Polk has had that same type of thing. They've got the it factor. So I think if you're going to go by experience throughout the course of their careers, you got to go a little bit with Southeast Polk, but I don't think that. And they're high school kids. There's so many things that could go wrong with them, and we've seen that before firsthand. The one thing that you know it's going to be is a great experience. I was been fortunate as a player. I still talk about it with our teammates from 26 years ago that we were able to play the state title game. So many memories made. Been able to coach in 8 of them now. Again, you remember details of each one, but man, as a player, that's the stuff that you just don't forget. It's going to be a fun day for those guys. You know, they'll get sent off and everybody will be out there to see them off. They'll be able to, the whole week leading up to it, you're the only two teams left playing. I mean, it's a really special time, and it's I miss it. We haven't been able to do it for a while, and I miss it, and I'm jealous of those guys, but also happy for them. You know, I mean, it's but you know, Southeast Polk has gone about things with a class act attitude. You play against those guys, and I'm not going to go ahead and say it's a pleasure to get your butt kicked by them, but like, they just do things the right way. Ankeny this year, as we go about there, and I've been a big fan of Jeff from the moment I met him. I think they do great things. A lot of those coaches are good friends of mine. You just hope that everybody has a good experience, because it's a very memorable thing to be playing in a state title game.
Well, it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it, and hey, I'll probably see you up there.
You bet. See you on the sideline.
Yep. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Dowling football team, and he guided the Maroons to a 9-2 record this season. Both of his squad's losses were to Ankeny and Southeast Polk, so who better to break down the Class 5A championship game than this gentleman? He is Tom Wilson. Tom, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Well, hey, when the playoffs started, your team was ranked number 2 behind Southeast Polk, and I think many people thought there was a gap, maybe even a sizable gap, between the top two teams and the rest of the field in Class 5A. But boy, these playoffs have certainly been unpredictable. We were just a play or two away last Friday from having a championship game between the number 13 and 14 seeds. You know, if Ankeny, Centennial, and Valley have been able to pull out those semifinal games. Do you think the playoffs have shown that maybe there is more parity in Class 5A this year than a lot of people thought?
Well, I think so. And to be honest with you, when we were halfway through the season, I thought that there were probably 5, 6, 7 teams that would have a chance to win it. And, you know, I think those that thought there were two that were, well, a lot better than others, I'm not sure I would have bought into that. I think really Southeast Polk has stood the test. And obviously, Ankeny's done a great job to get to this point.
Well, I don't know if you were at the Dome last Friday or not, or if you watched the games at home, but, you know, both of those games obviously could have gone either way. Did you expect those two games to go down to the wire like they did?
Well, Valley's been playing very well, and I think all of us know that they've had talent. They really had quarterback issues to begin with. They had an injury or two, and then they, by the time they put the sophomore in there, they've started to hit their stride a little bit. And the one thing that they've done the entire time is played pretty good defense, and that gives you a chance. And I think Gary does a great job of getting his teams ready for the postseason, and I think that has certainly held true.
Well, now we get a matchup between Ankeny and Southeast Polk in the title game for the 3rd time in 4 years. The Hawks routed Southeast Polk in the final of the 2020 COVID season, but the Rams won the rematch a year later, and then they defended their title last year when Abu Sama, you know, ran wild all over Valley. So now Southeast Polk is seeking a 3rd straight title. What do you see as the key matchups in this one?
Well, it's really going to be interesting. I think Ankeny has done a really, really good job. They've gotten as much out of that team as I think a staff could do. And they've really played good defense. They played great defense against us in the quarterfinals. It's going to be interesting just to see if Ankeny can get pressure. Obviously, on Moberly, that's going to be a key. Those two big play receivers out of Southeast Polk are a handful. Ankeny's playing more zone now than what they did earlier in the year. I think that's going to help them a ton, try to withstand that pass game. And I think the one thing about Southeast Polk is that they're very experienced all across the board. And I think that has really showed. I mean, they beat us in triple overtime. They went in overtime last week. They get a goal line stop against Cedar Falls the week before. I think being there in those big games is really helpful to Southeast Polk. And that offensive line of theirs has played an awful lot of snaps. They've got a backfield that's certainly good enough, and C.J. Phillip to keep, you know, things honest. And then you've got a Division I quarterback thrown to two really good wide receivers. So it's going to be how Ankeny defensively is able to hang in with Southeast Polk. And I think they can. I think the way Ankeny plays, and, you know, a lot of movement, quite a bit of blitzing, keeps an offense off balance. And they're going to have to in this ball game. And really, Ankeny's offense has evolved. I mean, they're fairly young in that backfield. They need a big game out of Akers. I think Earl Meyer's a nice receiver as well. And I know I'm forgetting others because I think they do have some good skill, but Akers is a difference maker. And I know we had a lot of concerns, which most teams did, that he can go deep at any time. And a couple of big plays out of him could get things going in a different direction. And, you know, one thing that when we played Ankeny, you know, they came out that first drive, and I think it was 17, 18 plays. And that made a difference in that ball game, because then the next thing you know, our kids were on their heels. And, you know, if something like that could happen, something big happened for Ankeny, they're going to gain confidence and realize they can play with Polk, and you never know what can happen.
Well, yeah, Ankeny is certainly going to need to sustain, you know, some of those drives and turn some of them into points to keep Southeast Polk's offense off the field and give the Hawks a chance to win. You know, I thought last Friday that Valley kind of wore Southeast Polk down there in the second half, and the Tigers certainly had a chance to win it there at the end. Do you see any similarities between Ankeny's offense and Valley's, and do you think that could be a recipe for the Hawks?
Well, Ankeny they run power a lot, and that is their number one play, I would imagine, when they break those things down. I believe Valley was getting into two tights and running, you know, some inside zone. They did run some counter and things like that. Valley is better up front than a lot of teams give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And I think that they really did a great job with that offensive line. Ankeny's offensive line, I think, is much improved. But I think that they're going to have to play very well. Southeast Polk has a couple of big bodies in the middle. They don't make a lot of tackles, but they take up space. And those linebackers for Southeast Polk are very active. Any run game that I think Ankeny can muster up, and if they can get into a rhythm, that's going to be great for them, because then they can go play action pass and try to hit Akers over the top.
Well, as you know, Tom, sometimes it takes some luck to win a championship. Your program won 7 consecutive titles from 2013 to 19, before Ankeny ended that run in the semifinals in 2020. And even though you guys were a dominant team in many of those seasons, you know, there were a couple times where I think you guys survived some really close calls, and there may have been some degree of luck involved. Both of these teams have already survived some close calls. Polk beat Cedar Falls by 1 point in the quarterfinals, and then needed to go to overtime to beat Valley. Ankeny, of course, intercepted 3 passes against Centennial, but still needed to survive a late field goal attempt that could have forced overtime. So both of these teams, you know, have to feel somewhat fortunate to even be here. So how do you see this one playing out?
Well, to be honest with you, there's a lot of luck involved with it, whether it's just injuries, whether it's, you know, I think last week Centennial Porter was sick, and, you know, that could make a difference. I'm not saying it would have, but he's a really good player. So there's an awful lot of luck that falls into this. I think you have to give Southeast Polk the edge just based on experience. And they're not going to be in awe of any state championship game. And Ankeny is, you know, they've got some relatively young players. The one thing I would emphasize is I have a great deal of respect of the job that Coach Bauer and his staff has done. They've brought this team an awful long ways and deserve credit for that. But at the end of the day, if I was a betting man, I'd bet on Southeast Polk just on experience alone. And obviously, their staff has done a fantastic job, and they have some players that have been there.
All right, Tom. Well, thanks a lot for stopping in. I appreciate your knowledge.
All right, thank you.
You bet. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the top-ranked Southeast Polk football team, and he's guided the 2-time defending state champions to a 12-0 record this season. His team will face Ankeny in the Class 5A title game on Friday for the 3rd time in 4 seasons. He's Brad Zelenovich. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, your program has been on an incredible run here the last few years. You guys are now 46-3 since the beginning of the 2020 season, and all 3 of those losses were to Ankeny, the team that you coached back in 2013 and 14. You know, but after your team posted a 58-21 victory at Ankeny on September 1st, I don't think too many people expected the Hawks to make it back to the game, you know, the title game in their first season under Coach Jeff Bauer. You know, how surprised are you that you'll be facing the Hawks again for the championship?
I wouldn't say surprised. You know, I mean, week 2 seems like so long ago, you know, and, you know, I think they had a rough stretch there, obviously, with us and then Dowling, but, you know, I mean, it's still Ankeny, and, you know, their kids are well coached, they're physical, they're tough, and, And they got on a roll, and momentum and confidence and belief with high school kids is, you know, pretty powerful stuff. So, you know, credit to Jeff and his staff for what they've done, and, you know, playing the schedule that they played, you know, which is similar to the schedule we played in Dowling, you know, all the 5A big boys. So surprise isn't the right word. You know, they're playing with a lot of confidence, and, you know, they've got good players. And so, you know, it'll definitely be a challenge for us this week.
Well, your team has not lost since you dropped a 31-14 decision to Ankeny in the regular season a year ago. But Abusama did not play in that game. And once he got back in the lineup, your team pretty much cruised to its second straight championship. Abu ran for 372 yards and 6 touchdowns in the final against Valley. You know, he's now doing some impressive things at Iowa State. Those are some incredible runs he had on Saturday at BYU. But obviously, you guys had to replace Abu after last season. You know, not to mention Caden Proctor, who I think is the state's top-ranked recruit ever. And I know your team was ranked number one coming into the season. But after having to replace, you know, the kind of talent that, you know, that doesn't come along very often. You know, did you think you guys would be back in this position?
Well, you never know. I mean, that was the hope, obviously. But, you know, you had two elite, you know, like you said, Caden was, you know, arguably the highest-ranked recruit in the history of the state. Abu, you know, was kind of a late bloomer, so to speak, and a guy that, you know, we knew was going to be a really good player. And, you know, shoot, he didn't play varsity football until his junior year, you know, and so – you know, replace those, you know, we didn't have a big senior class, but we had some great kids that were really good high school players, some of them playing now at, you know, some smaller colleges with scholarship football, and then some other guys that just really cared and love Southeast Polk football. So you get that type of leadership with our current senior class. We were juniors a year ago. We felt like, you know, we had a chance to be a good football team, you know, after you know, getting it done there in 21. That's the challenge, right? Something we had never done, you know, that Tom's had to do for years, and other coaches around here, Coach Bizzetti, you know, how do you stay on top of the mountain? And our kids, you know, complacency can erode the locker room, and complacency can get you in a bad spot. And the credit belongs to those seniors last year, obviously, and then the juniors that contributed. We had a quite a bit of juniors play last year. So, you know, you go into it, you know, thinking you got a chance, but you don't know. Some things, some breaks have to go your way for you to make a run to get to the last game.
Well, your team is now riding a 21-game winning streak, but you've definitely had some close calls in this year's playoffs. You survived a 1-point game against Cedar Falls in the quarterfinals, then had to go to overtime to beat Valley in the semifinals. You know, if you guys are able to three-peat, you know, it certainly hasn't been as easy as last year, has it?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It's, you know, I think we played the toughest regular season schedule in the state, according to some people. I don't really get into that. Obviously, you know, once you get to the final 16, you know, everybody's good and well-coached. And, yeah, you know, we showed some resiliency. We had some of those close wins in the regular season, you know, against really good teams, you know, Johnson, Centennial, obviously Dowling in multiple overtime. So, you know, hopefully that'll bode well for us going into a situation like Friday night. You know, you get to the Final Four, the Final Two, you know, all the details matter, the little things matter. And, you know, finding a way to win is still important. So I think our kids, you know, have done a good job weathering the storm, weathering the adversity, and finding ways to win. And that's something, I think there's something to be said for that. And obviously you could say the same thing about Ankeny.
Let's break this game down a little bit. You guys obviously dominated the first game against Ankeny. You scored on 6 straight possessions in the first half to build a 42-7 lead. And I was at that game, and I know I wondered, you know, who would be able to beat you guys if you play like that every week. Do you think that was your team's most complete game this year?
You know, I don't know. We kind of caught fire there a little bit, you know, at times, you know, especially early, you know, with what they're doing schematically. We struggled to run the football a little bit there early, but then find a way to create some explosive plays, had some short fields, had some good returns, and some short fields we were able to capitalize. But, yeah, I mean, it was a really good team win for us on the road against a good team. So, yeah, you know, I don't know if it was our best, most, you know, complete game after 12 of them that kind of all run together a little bit. But, yeah, you know, it was a good performance, you know. But, you know, like I told our guys on Sunday as we started the week, you know, that's going to have no bearing on this game. Obviously, they're a completely different football team. I think we are too, you know. You kind of figure out your strengths and who you are a little bit. And, that's kind of where you're at. Week 13, there's no secrets, you know, obviously on either side. And, you know, the team that executes the best and makes the fewest mistakes, you know, is going to win the game.
Well, yeah, you mentioned complacency earlier, and you are coaching high school kids. So I'm sure the fact that you guys won that game so handily, one of the things that you would be concerned about is, you know, your kids being overconfident going into this rematch. I'm sure you've tried to convince them that, you know, this is a different Ankeny team they're going to have to deal with on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and easier said than done, right, dealing with high school kids. And, you know, I think all coaches face the same thing, you know. And, you know, with, you know, the media, you know, the spotlight, the, you know, the internet and all the things that go along with playing 5A football in Central Iowa, you know, CIML, Friday night's a big deal, you know. And so there's a lot of people on the perimeter, on the periphery, that have a vested interest in high school kids, whether it's, you know, certain media outlets and internet and social media and kids and all those things. So, yeah, I mean, that's – so we embrace that. You know, we talk about that. We're up front with our guys about that. But, yeah, you know, block out the noise, you know, focus on the task at hand. And that's been our message all year and obviously this week.
Well, what have you seen from the Hawks on film that has impressed you? Where have they made the most growth since that first game?
Well, I think they're playing with a lot of confidence, you know, and I think, you know, there's no substitute for experience. You know, offensively, the quarterback, obviously, first-year starter, has progressively gotten better, you know, each week and does a great job of getting the ball to the guys that they need to get the ball to. You know, they're physical up front on offense, and they got two really good backs, you know, that are really good explosive athletes. And then, you know, not to mention the kids on the perimeter, the Akers kid, and obviously the Vermont kid in the slot, that do good things. And then defensively, you know, they create chaos, you know, with what they're scheme. You know, it's a little bit unorthodox to what you see, you know, week in and week out. And, you know, they got the two seniors, really good players in the middle, you know, and the linebacker and the safety that do a good job of cleaning things up. So, yeah, I mean, they're playing with confidence. You know, they're not giving up a lot of points. You know, they're creating some explosive plays on offense. They do a good job of kind of creating matchups for the guys that they need to. And so they're just a good football team. You know, they're a good football team back in week two. And, you know, like you said earlier, you're dealing with high school kids sometimes. You know, momentum and momentum plays and how you respond to negative situations can be the determining factor in the game. And I'm sure, you know, Coach Bauer is, you know, similar to us, trying to, you know, how are we going to respond? You know, when adversity hits, how are we going to react and how are we going to respond to go continue to go make plays?
Well, you mentioned the Ankeny defense. You know, they've been so good in the postseason, giving up just 23 points in three games. But you guys are averaging about 40 points per game, so something is going to have to give there. What's going to be the key for your offense, you know, to have success against them?
Well, I think when we're at our best, you know, we're good on first down. You know, I think first down is big, and staying ahead of the chains and getting in third and manageables. You know, the last couple of weeks, you know, you talked about those close games. You know, we were up big early, you know, 21-0 in Cedar Falls, 14-0 in Valley in the semifinals. You know, had a explosive pass called back with a penalty. You know, things like that, you know, when we get behind the chains and you know, make it hard on ourselves by creating adverse situations with penalties or lack of execution, you know, we struggle a little bit, as most high school offenses do. But if we can stay ahead of the chains, you know, win first down, stay on the field, and continue to drive the ball, you know, and then get into the scoring area, you got to come away with points and touchdowns, or obviously better field goals. That's been our focus, and that's been, you know, when we're as successful as we've been, that's usually what we're doing. And then obviously on the flip side of that, you know, limiting their explosive plays. They're a big strike. You know, they want to vertical pass and create some matchups, and we're going to have to limit big plays, and we're going to have to tackle, you know, both of their backs.
Well, yeah, Ankeny does have a pretty balanced offense, but they do like to control the ball with their running game at times. You know, that was something that they couldn't do in the first game matchup against your team. And like you said, you guys had some short fields. So will that be the key for your defense, to stop the running game and maybe force them into some passing situations?
Yeah, I think so. You know, in that first game too, you know, they were using some tempo. You know, we're, you know, prepared for that. I'm not sure they're still doing that a little bit. But, you know, the tempo, you got to stay on the field, you know. And so, yeah, you know, we limit big plays, you know, make them drive the ball. But, yeah, I mean, you get to this point, I think Jeff would say the same thing. You know, it's a line of scrimmage game, you know, and you know, they want to run the football, you know. We want to run the football, and so that's making sure you're aligned right. And then obviously you got to tackle well. So that'll be a key. Yeah, getting off the field, and then, you know, same thing, you know, specialty downs, third down, getting off the field, you know, when you have those opportunities.
Well, it should be a great game. I'm looking forward to it. Coach, thanks a lot for coming over tonight and giving us some time.
You bet. Thanks, Dan.